Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 is where I'm going to start with our scripture today. It says this: "Then he said to the crowd, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it.'" Let's pray. Father God, today, I pray that you would touch our hearts, that you would let my words be few, your words be powerful, and let your Spirit teach us about the power of a dead man. We give you all glory and all honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. That's my title this morning. It's the power of a dead man. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You dead yet?" Some of y'all are going, "Yeah, I'm done." Listen, I want to tell you the story, and this is the reason why I brought up John chapter 11 and 12. It's because there's a story of a dead man in the Bible in John 11 and 12 by the name of Lazarus. Now, how many of you remember this story? Those of you that don't know the story, this is the way that it goes. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. He hung out with him, talked with him. They may have played golf together. I have no idea. But they liked to be together, and he had two sisters named Mary and Martha. Well, one day when Jesus was ministering in the area, all of a sudden these messengers came up and said, hey, Jesus, your good friend Lazarus is dying, and you need to come now, otherwise he's going to die and we're going to be without him on this earth. So Jesus said, okay, I'll be right there. But Jesus hung out for a few more days. Now, how many of you have ever asked Jesus for something and he just sort of seemed to hang out and not come when you wanted him? There's a purpose behind it. He sort of hung out for a few more days, and then he all of a sudden he said, okay, guys, let's go over and let's go to see Lazarus because he is now asleep. And the disciples, being the disciples that they are, they weren't exactly the sharpest knives in the drawer, if you know what I mean. They said, well, if he's resting and if he's sleeping, then we should probably leave him alone, right, Jesus? Let's just let him sleep and he's going to get better. And Jesus said, listen, guys, I told you. Let me explain. He dead. He gone. So let's go and talk to him. And they're like, you want to go talk to a dead man? He said, but there's a reason for it. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. So he goes back to Bethany and he sees Mary and Martha. They run up to him. Lord, if you had only been here, then our brother would be alive. He would have survived this sickness. If you had just come when I wanted you to. How many of us have screamed that at Jesus at times? If you had come when I wanted you to, Jesus, then you know what? I wouldn't have gotten sick. If you had come when I wanted you to, then I would have gotten that right job. If you had come when I wanted you to, then I would have had the things that I needed. But there's a purpose behind it. Everybody say purpose. You were created on purpose for a purpose. And there's a purpose behind everything that Jesus does. Well, anyway, he finally says, show me where you've laid him. And he goes and he says, all right, roll the stone away. And everybody's like, you want us to what? He says, roll the stone away. I want to speak to Lazarus. They said, I love the King James where it says, but Lord, he doth stinketh. That word stinketh is just funny to me. It reminds me of the Grinch for some reason. But Lord, he stinks. He's been in there 4 days. 4 days this man's been dead. And Jesus says, roll the stone away. And then as they roll the stone away, he says, okay, Lord, God, Father, I know you've already heard the prayer I've already prayed. He's already prayed a prayer on the inside of him. He's already prayed that prayer. And he said, I've already prayed this prayer, but I say it out loud so that people around me can hear it and so that it can be a witness to them that you have given me power over death. Lazarus, come forth. Next thing you know, Lazarus comes out of the grave, wrapped up in his grave clothes. And then they unwrap him, and then they go and they have parties, and they talk and all this other kind of stuff. And then that's the gist of the story, right? But there's more to it. Because we don't know the power of a dead man. We don't know the power that Lazarus carried with him outside of that grave. That's what I want to talk to you about, is the power of a dead man. Christ has called each of us to die without exception. Everybody in this room, Christ is called to die. He has called us to die. Some people, this has been through a literal death, like Lazarus. Although he didn't die because of persecution, there was a purpose and a reason that Lazarus had to die. Some people have died for their faith. History tells us that 10 out of the 12 disciples ended up dying because they were because of persecution. They died for their faith. Every one of them died except for their faith, except for Judas, who hung himself, and John, who died of old age. Now, it doesn't mean people didn't try to kill John, because people tried to stone him, they tried to kill him, they tried to set traps for him. If I remember right, they even tried to boil him alive. Okay? All that kind of stuff. They tried to kill him, but he died of natural causes. Now, plenty of people today die for their faith in different parts of the world. We hear all the time about Al-Qaeda, and we hear all the time about all these different people that are dying for their faith. And right now, there are people being persecuted and thrown in jail, people that are suffering today because of their faith. According to Christianity Today, 1 in 6 Christians in Africa today, this is just in Africa, 1 in 6 Christians in Africa today will suffer some kind of religious persecution or violence every day of their life. Every day of their life. Can you imagine that? Will that happen in the U.S. one day? Who knows? There's people in the U.S. that suffer because of their faith. Will it happen on a wide scale? I don't know. It seems to me like it's getting worse every single day, but God. But God is great. There's a purpose and there's a reason for everything. Listen. To other people, some people die in the physical sense. Others, it's a different kind of death that we have been called to. Again, I'm going to read Luke, our text today, Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. It says, "Then he said to the crowd, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily.'" In other words, put yourself on that cross daily. Die daily. Die to it all and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. This is without exception. Jesus doesn't look at us and say, if you just want to be a pastor, then you got to die daily. If you want to do good, then die daily. If you want to just get into heaven and just skim by, then die. No, he says, everybody who must be my disciple, everybody who wants to be my disciple, everybody who wants to follow me must die to themselves without exceptions. We are called to die to ourselves and learn to obey and learn to deny who our own flesh. We really don't understand the power of a dead man. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Are you dead yet?" We really don't understand it. The power that comes from understanding what it is to deny ourselves. When we realize that God has called us to lay down what we desire, what we want, and what we think is best for us, it's like plugging into a true power source. When we no longer care about this, when we no longer care about recognition, when we no longer care about what people say about us, when we no longer care about what we have in our bank, when we no longer care about what we have sitting in our garage or what we drive around town with, when we no longer care whether we have the right drip or not. And for those of you that don't know what that means, it means dress nice. See, I am up on some of the lingo, okay? But the thing is, you sit there and you'd worry about all these things. When we get to the point where we don't care, when we begin to live Galatians 2:20, where it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live." When we begin to live that out loud, when we begin to die to ourselves, that is when we can begin to impact our world around us. Jesus asked us to die to self, because he knew that it does something extraordinary to us. If you're with me, say, "I am." That was all the introduction. And everybody's like, "Oh my Lord, we gotta get to..." Listen, you get that leftover turkey from Thanksgiving away. When we die to ourselves, it causes a reaction from others, though, right? When we die to ourselves, it causes a reaction from others. There will be some kind of a reaction if someone passed away in the physical realm. There's some kind of reaction. Listen, if I were to drop dead right now, there'd be a reaction in this church, right? Some of y'all would start running and say, oh, I knew it. I knew he was that kind of guy. No. There would be some kind of reaction. I joke with Amy all the time. Because we talk about when I pass away. We talked about it just very, well, I do joke with you some. She's over there. Not all the time. Okay, it's for my message. Just hang with me, okay? I'll ask for forgiveness later. But, no, I'm kidding. I'm totally joking, guys. Okay. But I do joke with her, and I tell her, when I die, I don't care what you do with me. I don't care if I'm in the ground. I don't care if I'm burnt or whatever. If you put me in a casket, though, I told her I want a specific shirt. Have I not said this? I want a specific shirt. I want a T-shirt made that says, I put the fun in funeral. And I want to be buried in that shirt. Because there's going to be reaction. And I don't want people sitting around crying because I'm gone. Yes, I know there's going to be sadness. Yes, I know there's going to be mourning. Yes, I know there's going to be an absence. But at the same time, I'm home. There's going to be a reaction. When people pass away, there's a reaction when they pass away. We've experienced some of that around here lately. When Lazarus passed away, the people reacted the way you think they should. There was weeping and there was mourning. The Bible says that Jesus walked up and the mourners were there. In the biblical times, they would actually hire mourners to come and cry over corpses and to cry over the people that had passed away. They would hire people and they would sing songs and they would sing dirges and they would mourn and cry and wail and weep, and they would do all of these things. And these people reacted just like that. There was weeping and mourning. The sisters even came out, Mary and Martha, they came out and reacted the way that you would think they would. They hollered at Jesus and said, if you had been here, Jesus, if you had just shown up on time, he would still be here. People are going to react when someone dies. People are going to react when someone passes away. The key to remember is that all of these people that were crying, all of these people that were wailing, all of these people that were mourning, they only had part of the picture. They only had a little bit of the picture of what was really happening. All of these people, they didn't have the big picture in mind the way that Jesus did. There was a bigger purpose behind the death of Lazarus for us and for them. John 11, 14 and 15 says this. So he told them plainly, he's speaking to his servants, or his disciples, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. In essence, he was saying, I'm glad he's dead. I'm glad he's gone. Because it's not for me, but for your sakes. For now, you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Jesus knew that there was an impact waiting on the other side of death for Lazarus. Can I share something with you? There's an impact on the other side of you dying to yourself that can only be found when you do die to yourself. There is an impact that God has for you when you finally decide, I no longer live. It's not because of me anymore. It's not because of what I want anymore. It's not because of my position anymore. It's not because of who I am anymore. When we get to the point when we die to self, we step into purpose. We step into who he is, who he has made us to be, what he has made us to do. If you're with me, say, I am. Is anybody getting anything out of this today? See, Jesus had the opportunity to get there beforehand, but it was through Lazarus' death that faith and belief was birthed in people. If he had showed up before Lazarus had passed away and said, okay, be healed, well, people would have been, yay, it's another healing, woo, awesome, thank you, Jesus. And then they wouldn't have been out of the business. But this man been dead for 4 days. He stinketh. He's dead. He's been dead for 4 days, and Jesus decided, now I'm going to show up, and now I'm going to interrupt people's lives. People of the world, see, that's the thing. Again, people did not understand the full picture. People of this world are not going to understand when you decide to die to yourself. People are not going to understand when you say, you know what? That's not what the scripture tells me I should do, so I'm going to step back. Even though my flesh wants it, I'm going to step away from it. They're not going to understand you. Because their mindset is, get all you get and can all you get. Okay, I got to think here. Get all you can all you get. There we go. And they're all about, I know it. Listen, guys, I know I never claimed to be a smart man. So just hang with me. But the thing is, their mindset is, it's all about me. Let me put it that way. It's all about me. It's about what I can get out of life. It's about what I deserve. It's about making sure that I get my accolades, getting my place, getting my things. It's all about making sure that my flesh is happy. So like at Thanksgiving dinner, it's not about making sure that the kids get food or anything. I want some stuffing. I want some dressing. I want some turkey. I want some ham. I'm starting to get hungry. But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about all these things. And the thing is, the world is all about themselves. People of this world are never going to understand your willingness to die to yourself and deny yourself. It's a mystery to them. When you look at them and say, you know what? It's not good for me to cuss somebody out. They're going to look at you and say, listen, I would have done more than cuss them out. I would have beat them down because they treat me that way. But you go, you know what? It's not good for me to do that. They're not going to understand that. They're not going to understand the fact that you walk in faith and say, you know what? God's going to heal me and God's going to take care of me. They're not going to understand the fact that you sit there and go, you look at your bank account and go, I don't know where our next meal's coming from, but my God is going to supply all of my needs according to his glory. They're not going to understand those kind of things. And some of them are going to mourn for you. Well, you know old Timmy, he used to be the life of the party. Now he just stays home and reads his Bible and he goes to church. And you know what? I seen him over there hooping and hollering in that church. He went down to that church off of Greenbrier and they got him yelling and hollering, and I bet they handling snakes in there. Those of you online, we do not handle snakes, okay? Just making sure. But the thing is, they're sitting there going, he used to be the life of the party. Now he don't do nothing fun. All the while, Timmy's living his best life and having a great time being in Christ Jesus and having a blast, because he's no longer worried about his flesh. He's no longer worried about satisfying his flesh. He's only worried about the fact that he wants to make his God smile. When we get to the point where we don't care about making the world smile, but making God smile, we're going to have some people that mourn us because we're no longer allowed to be in the same place where they're at. We're going to have some people that get mad at us. You ever had somebody get mad at you because you got saved? They get mad at you. Why do you want to go to church? You used to come out with us all the time. You just ain't no fun no more. And they get mad at you and they say, you just throwing your life away. You sit there and you say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. See, that's the problem. The world looks at Christianity as a list of things that you can and can't do. We look at Christianity, we look at following Jesus as, hey, you know what I get? I get the presence of God. You know what else I get? I get blessings from God. You know what else I get? I get the presence of God in my life. You know what else I get? I get a family that is blessed, and I get more than I gave up. Because it's not about me anymore. Are you with me? Come on. That was for free. You got some people that make fun of you. They say you're taking things too far. Well, the Bible does say that, but listen, you can't go to extremes. You can't. Yeah. Yeah, you can. You got no problem letting somebody go to extremes and paint their face red and white and wearing a Tide box on their hat. On their head when they go to a ball game, and you don't look at them like they're crazy. Maybe you do, I don't know. You got no problem with somebody who spends thousands upon thousands of dollars to go and be on all these hunting trips and all these things, spends all kinds of money, and they're a fan of all of that, and they sit there and they give everything that they are. And we don't look at them like they're crazy. But they look at us crazy because we're giving 10% to God. They look at us crazy because we're willing to sow seed into something. They look at us crazy because we're willing to give up ourselves so that somebody else can be blessed. No matter what the reaction of those around us, the reward is always worth the sacrifice. Are you with me? The reward you're going to get when you sacrifice is always worth it. Even Jesus, when he revealed his upcoming death, got a reaction from those closest to him. After he explained everything, he was telling Peter, or he's telling his disciples, one day I'm going to die. Here soon, I'm going to pass away. But I'm going to come back in 3 days. And he went through the whole spiel. And then Peter, I love Peter, because he's a lot like me. He's one of those that thinks after he speaks. He pulls Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 16:22, it says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. How in the world do you pull the Son of God off to the side and say, listen here, son, I've lived longer than you. And you rebuke the Son of God. You've already declared that he is the Son of God. And he's already said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he has already spoken into your life. Yet you decide, you know what? He don't know what he's talking about. I'm going to pull him. Listen, now let's just sit here, Jesus. I understand. You think you're supposed to die, but we're not going to let that happen. And then Jesus looks at him. Go back to that scripture, JC. He looks at him and says this. In verse 22, never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. And all of a sudden, Peter's going, what? But I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to help, Jesus. He got a reaction Jesus had already died to himself. And he got a reaction from Peter the way that we do from the world. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Again, you haven't died to yourself, Peter. You haven't died to who you are yet. You haven't died to what you want. You want me to stay here on this earth. You want me to be with you. But it's not going to happen because that's not God's will, and you don't have the mindset of God because you haven't died to self yet. Church, a lot of times we get confused because we haven't died to self yet. What God speaks into our life, we're going, no, Jesus, that's not good. But the thing is, it makes our flesh stretch. And that's painful to us. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. When you die to yourself, even those close to you may not understand. Your family members are not going to understand you having to go to be at church when the doors are open. Your family members may not understand you digging into the Word of God and wanting to talk about God with them. Your family members and your friends, they may not understand the fact that you don't go drinking with them on the weekends anymore. They may not understand the fact that you cleaned up your language. They may not understand the fact that you don't frequent the places that they used to go because you've realized that it's not about making your flesh happy. You've got to make your spirit strong. They're not going to understand it. This world is not going to understand it. We have to learn to say no to this flesh, and say yes to him in order to have the mind of God and to tap into the power that he intends for each of us to have in our lives. If you understand me, say I do. Lazarus' death, the power of a dead man, his death caused a reaction from those around him. Your death and taking up your cross will cause a reaction from this world, because a walking dead man will always draw attention. A walking dead man will always call attention. Now that would definitely be a head turner for me. Somebody dead walking down the street, and that, I'm sorry, I would notice. If somebody tried to walk into your house that was dead, that you thought was dead, you would freak out, right? A funny but not funny story. Let me tell you this. There was a dear woman who passed away just not too long ago in central Alabama. We called her Mama Dean. Amy and I went to her funeral and we love her with all of our heart. But as most churches do, the church that she was a part of, they went to take food to her house for her family. Well, there was a particular family that was helping carry the food over there, and they took their daughter with them. She was about 17 years old, I think. And she decided, I'm going to take this family with me, or I'm going to take my daughter with me. And they went to carry food. And they went and knocked on the door. And they sit there and knock, knock, knock. And they opened the door, and the mom was not looking at the door. She was looking at her daughter when they opened the door. And all of a sudden, her daughter's eyes got as big as baseballs. And you could see panic go across her face. And all of a sudden, this woman said, "Oh, no, I forgot." See, what they had neglected to do was they had neglected to tell her daughter that the lady that had passed away had a twin sister. So she thought the dead woman was answering the door. And it freaked her out. It completely freaked her out. Listen, seeing a dead man walking is going to cause a reaction and cause some attention to happen, right? Are you with me? It would definitely cause some change. You would notice, and your attention would be captured if someone you thought was dead came walking into your house. Lazarus' death caused a reaction, but when he came out of the tomb, I can imagine it now. Everybody is outside the tomb crying and wailing, "Oh, Lazarus, we miss you. Oh, Lazarus, you got to, oh, we hope you're happy. We hope you." And then all of a sudden, Lazarus comes walking around, and everybody's going, "All right, I'm out. I'm done." No. It's going to cause some attention to draw there. All of a sudden, they go, "Who is that? No, that can't be Lazarus. No, that's not him." But it called their attention to him. His death caused a reaction. But his resurrection and him walking in life and walking in his death is what caused the attention to be drawn to him. Church, listen to me. When you walk in the presence of God, when you walk in that calling of God that says it's not about me, people are going to start to notice. They're going to start to notice who you are. They're going to start to notice what you're doing. They're going to start to notice how you speak, how you walk, how you talk, how you act, all of these things. Imagine the people around town when he walked into their stores, when Lazarus walked into their stores and their homes. They're sitting there and they're looking, "Oh my gosh, it's the dead guy. It's the dead guy. He's in my store. He's in my store." All of a sudden, he is noticed. It's instant celebrity status in town. He walks into the restaurant. He walks into the restaurant to have a seat. People are crowding up to him. "Hey, Lazarus, I heard you were dead. Hey, it's the dead guy. It's the dead guy. Hey, selfie." All that kind of, and they're paying it. Instant celebrity. Some of y'all will catch that in a minute. I'm sorry. I know I'm a little excited today. But the thing is, all of these things, he starts to be known. In John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this: 6 days before Passover, celebration began. Jesus arrived at Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. John chapter 12, verse 9. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus raised from the dead. He was known because he died. Can I ask you something? What are you known for? Are you known because you live for yourself? Are you known because you live for your talent? Are you known because you live for your job? Or are you known because you have died to yourself and you don't care what people think about you anymore? You don't care what people say about you anymore, and that you are speaking the word of Jesus as much as you can? How are you known? How are you known today? When we live by that verse in Luke chapter 9, and constantly and consistently die to self, people will not only notice, but will become interested in what's going on in our lives. They notice when you smile all the time, even though you're going through something. They notice your tears when you pray. They notice when you pray over your meal and when you don't. They notice when somebody says, hey, will you pray with me about something? They notice when you stop everything and say, well, let's pray right now. Instead of saying, I'll be in prayer for that later on. They notice when you don't care what people say. As people watch our lives and we don't react like the world would, that draws attention. Questions are going to be asked. Let me say this. If no one in the world questions your life, are you really living differently from them? If no one looks at you and says, why are you so different? If they don't think you're different, then maybe you're not different enough. Because you're blending in with the crowd. You're blending in with the people. Even conviction will follow us wherever we go. Y'all ever just walked into a room and all the sinners in the room just automatically just they feel uncomfortable? Well, let me flip-flop that because maybe you were the person that was sitting in the room and there was somebody that you knew followed God and you knew had died to yourself, and when they walked in the room, all of a sudden you got uncomfortable. You're like, something ain't right. You know what's wrong? It's the fact that the spirit on the inside of you is not jiving with the spirit on the inside of them. When you walk in the spirit and when you walk in the spirit of God, what's on the inside of you is going to cause conviction to follow you. Now notice this, it's not condemnation. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction pushes people towards God. Condemnation tells people they're never going to be worth it. Our job is not to pass judgment on people and then say, you're a horrible person and you're dying and going to hell. Our job is to look at them and say, hey, God provided a way for you to let go of that. God provided a way for you to be saved from that. If you're with me, say, I am. I've got to hurry. Even conviction will follow us whenever wherever we go, because that same spirit that raised Lazarus is the spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and it now dwells in us. That spiritual denial of self will make an impact on those that we are around. It reveals even more about the power of a dead man. The power of a dead man causes a reaction. The power of a dead man calls attention to it. But then the power of a dead man also creates opportunity. When you live dead, see, Lazarus's impact and opportunity did nothing but grow after he died. From the moment he stepped out of the grave, things became different. The reaction of the people, whether positive or negative, started a chain reaction with him. The attention that he started getting changed his life forever, and from that moment on. This is where his choice came in, though. See, some of us have given our lives over to Christ, but we have yet to die to who we are. Christ called Lazarus out of that grave. And Lazarus had a choice from that moment on. Would he make the most of his opportunity, or would he let it pass him by? When the attention gets focused on you, and when people start asking you those questions, what do you do with your opportunity? There's a story I tell all the time, or I've told many times, of a girl that I was supposed to witness to in school when I was in 11th grade. I was a junior in high school. And I had taken my Bible and I'd laid it out on my desk. It was a challenge that my youth pastor had given us in our church. And this girl came up and she beautiful girl, just, I mean, like, was one of the most popular girls in school, okay? She asked me, what about that? What's that all about? And I said, well, it's my Bible. She said, well, what? I know that. Why'd you bring it? And of course, like a doofus junior in high school who was a dork and who was starstruck by this gorgeous girl, I looked at her, it's for me to read later. I had an opportunity to live dead. I had an opportunity to share Christ, and I didn't. that weekend, she ended up passing away in a car wreck. Long and the short of it, I don't know whether she was saved or not. It may have just been an opportunity that God was giving me to stretch my faith. But I do know that I missed out on an opportunity. When questions are asked of you, what are you doing with the opportunity? Every other time you see Lazarus, from that moment on, from the moment he walked out of the grave, every other time you see him, he is with Jesus. He is walking with him. He's talking with him. He's eating with him. All of these things. See, God has called us to be salt and light to this world. Salt is a preservative that gives flavor to everything that it touches. Light reveals truth and gives guidance to everyone that is within its reach. When we die to ourselves and decide that our will, our desires, our plans are not as important as His purpose and His will in our lives, we can begin to see opportunities differently. Again, Lazarus, from this point on, from the moment he steps out of the grave, you never hear of him being anywhere except by Jesus' side. John 12:2, a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Lazarus was right there with him in the middle of that. John 12:9, I've already read the scripture, but it says, when all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him, and also to see Lazarus. Listen, when you decide to live dead and when you decide to die to who you are, people will flock to see Jesus through you. They will flock to see Jesus living in you. But you have to die to this. Whenever you see Lazarus, he's with Jesus. When people ask him, see, he was so close to him. When people ask Lazarus, hey, I heard you were dead. I heard you were gone, buried in a tomb. You stinketh. What happened? I can imagine Lazarus sitting in his chair or sitting on the floor, looking down the road and seeing Jesus as he's teaching, going, that guy, he happened. He happened in my life. It's because of him that I'm here. Church, listen to me. When somebody asks you, what happened to you? What happened to you? Why do you have the joy that's on the inside of you? Why are you struggling, but you always seem to be happy and you always seem to have that joy inside of you? Why are you believing that God is with you when you deal with so much tragedy? That's when you go, he's the reason why. Saying no, when the opportunity arises for you, where do you point people? Saying no to self is hard, but it's necessary. Lazarus physically died and was brought back to life. He was a living dead man. It gave him the power to impact the world like never before. What about you? Have you died to self? That same power is available to us. That same power of a dead man is available to every person that's in this room. Every person that's watching online right now, God is inside that room with you right now, ready to speak into your life and to help you become that living dead man, that living dead woman, that living dead person that is ready to go out and to change the world for Christ. That same power is inside of us. When we just have to remember that we have to deny ourselves or die daily and pick up the burden of the cause of Christ. How do we do that? Galatians 2:20 is how we do that. For I am crucified with Christ. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. One of the things I pray before I ever take this stage and before I ever speak, God, let me disappear. Let me die and let you be born in me. Let me disappear and let people see you in me. I don't care if they remember the name of Aaron Argo. I don't care if they remember one word that I say. I don't care if they remember one joke. I don't care if they laugh at anything that I say. I don't care if what I say does anything, but let them see you in me. But it's not just here on the stage. It's at the gas station. It's at Walmart. It's at Pick and Save. It's at Piggly Wiggly. It's at every store that you can imagine. Let them see Jesus in me. Don't let it be my words that they hear, but His words. Not my heart they see, but Your heart, God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How do we die to self? We point them to Jesus. We point them to Jesus. We decide what I want is not as important as what He wants. What I desire and what I think my purpose is not as important as His purpose. His purpose is one. Number one. If you understand me, say I do. Let's stand today. Father God, right now, I pray that Your Spirit would pour over this place. That, Lord, You would give us that spirit of the living dead man, that living dead woman. That, God, we would look at our own personal lives and say, it doesn't matter what I want anymore. But that, God, it's about You and it's about the purpose that You have for me. Lord, today, I pray that You would seal that in all of us, myself included. Don't let me forget, God, that I am called to be dead. I am called to be an afterthought. I am called to say no to my flesh. If I truly call myself a disciple of God, then I have to say no to myself first. In Jesus' name, now with every head bowed, every eye closed, you may be in this room, and right now you may be saying, you know what, I need to die to myself. I've been living for myself too long, and I'm not even serving God right now. I'm not living for Him. If that's you today, and you're sitting there going, I need to die today. I need to take up my cross, take up my purpose, take up the reason why God created me. I need that in my life today. I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. If that is you, and you want to give your life to Him this morning, all I ask you to do right now is raise your hand in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you. You can put it right back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify Your name. Thank you, Jesus. Still with every head bowed, every eye closed, you still may be in this room. You may be saying, you know what? I live for God, but I haven't really truly died to myself in certain areas. There are some things that are struggling to live inside of me. It may be lust. It may be pride. It may be anger. It may be anxious or depression. It may be anxiety. It may be whatever. And today, you want to lay that down and you want to crucify that part of your flesh. It may be your pride saying, I don't need anybody's help to live. If that's you today and you want to lay that piece down, you want to lay that part of your life down and you want to kill it once and for all and you want to live as a dead man, live as a dead woman, live as a dead person in Christ and let the Spirit live in you. If that's you, then right now I invite you to raise your hand in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Can't thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. Tell you what, on second thought, if everyone would, I want you to take your right hand, I want you to raise it right now. And I want everybody to say this after me. Lord Jesus, right now, I understand I need to die to myself. I need to die to who I am. I need to give You my life and my heart. Today, Lord, I surrender my life in Jesus' name. Now, right now, I want you to pick up that left hand and put both hands up and say, God, I surrender everything to You. In Jesus' name, Lord, let me be that living dead person. Let me be a disciple of yours. I give you everything in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we give God praise?